The Apostle Paul got beat up a lot, it seems. He's got a lot of points in his letters where he reflects on what's happened to him because he's proclaiming what a new life in Christ is about and how he's tried to live that. And it turns out that he's been knocked down and dragged out, and he's been beaten up, and he's been imprisoned, and that the message that he's tried to give and the message that he's tried to live has been very, very difficult for many people to receive. I can imagine that's true for a couple of reasons. It seems like Paul did everything that he did in his life with an amount of zeal. We know that before Paul encountered Christ, the risen Christ, as he was walking along the road, that Paul had done a great deal of zealous work to oppose those who were followers of that same Christ. Violently so, as a matter of fact, that he went around with documents that said that those people who were followers of the way could be persecuted and prosecuted, and he was even present at the killing of one of those. So when he became a follower of Jesus, perhaps it's no surprise that he did so with gusto. The second reason is that Paul seemed to believe that because of his encounter with Jesus and because of Jesus' encounter with the world and with life and death and resurrection, that something incredible had already happened. That in Christ, a new creation had been effected. And that when we become members of the body of Christ, that when we are baptized into that body, we become a part of this new creation. See, there is a new creation. Behold, all things are made new. When Paul writes to the church in Corinth, he does not suggest to them that someday all things will be made new. He doesn't say to them that I really hope all things will be made new. No, instead, Paul writes that all things have been made new. In Christ, we are a new creation. Something, writes Paul, has already happened, and it has effects if we participate in that something. What would it mean for all things to be made new? What would it mean if in Christ we were a new creation? And would it be a struggle? Would it be a struggle to live in this new creation? How would this new creation be different from the old creation? I love the image of the snake and the skin that Bob shared with the children earlier. Because there's something about that growing snake that can no longer fit in the old skin. There's something about that old skin that can't be a part of the future of the growing snake. The new creation that is the snake's new skin just can't live side by side or hand in glove or snake in skin with the old skin. But it doesn't just come off easily. Sometimes there's a struggle. Sometimes it's difficult. And then there are the vestiges of the old skin hanging around. And it seems to me that that's part of how it is with us. We are invited to proclaim that in Christ, something new has happened. And then we're called to live in that something new. Paul talks about the way in which we're called to live in that something new, and he talks about it as a ministry of reconciliation. Believing that we have been reconciled to God, not only us, but the entire earth, the whole world and all its people have been reconciled to God. We're then called to participate in this new creation in a ministry of reconciliation. I've really been thinking about that this week, and it seems to me easier said than done. Every time I turn on the news, every time I pick up a newspaper, every time I listen to the radio, I hear signs that the old creation is working hard at hanging around. When I wake up in the morning, when I go to bed at night, it seems as if the old creation is still finding power and momentum. And I wonder again and again, what does it mean for me to believe, to truly believe, and then to truly embody this ministry of reconciliation that flows out of all things being made new in Christ. As Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he tries to share with them what that might look like and what it might mean. In fact, Paul seems to do that in every letter that we have of his to every church to which he wrote. Because, after all, it's hard to believe that all things have been made new if the old things seem still to prevail. All things made new would look like this, it seems. It would look like a world in which we acknowledge the humanity of every single person, a world in which we understand God's grace working in our lives, a world in which we work together side by side, arm in arm, hand in hand, to celebrate, to embody, and to move forward in this new creation. In a world that's been made new, everybody would have enough to eat. But in the world around us, not everybody has enough to eat. In a world that's been made new, people would be honored and respected. And yet in the world around us, not everyone is honored and respected. In a world made new, everyone would receive care for their bodies and for their spirits when they're injured. In the world where we seem to live, not everyone receives this care. And on and on and on. How can Paul say this? How can Paul say, see, everything has been made new. Behold, there is a new creation in Christ, when all of these things don't seem to have become a reality? Paul says it, it seems, because he firmly believes that in the life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ and the Spirit-filled life of his church, that something incredible has begun, that it's already begun to happen. Paul believes this. I think that's why he keeps getting beaten up all the time. I think that's why he ends up in jail. You know, when Paul does a list of things that he's had to go through, it's always really a crazy list, right? It's a list of he's been in prison, there have been riots, he's been beaten up, he's been put down, he's been pushed out, he's been accused of various things. It seems as if in his joy to live in this new creation, there's also this battle of sorts. Because the old creation wants to hang on. It wants to hang on so badly. It wants to have power. And yet Paul writes again and again that the new creation has already begun and its power is paramount. My question to myself this week, and a question that I would be happy for you to overhear and consider for yourselves, do I believe that in Christ all things are made new? Do I believe that something incredible has really happened in what we know as the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Has God acted determinedly in the world such that all things have been made new? And if I believe that, am I willing to live in that new creation, even while the old creation, its vestiges of violence, hatred, racism, fear, appears to be pushing back violently against the proclamation of the new? So the first part seems easy. Yeah, I believe it. Then I have to ask myself, what does it mean to believe something? Am I just giving cognitive assent? Am I just saying, it seems to me in my mind that that could be true? Okay, I'll go for it. Or am I trusting it to be true? If I'm trusting it to be true, that in Christ all things have been made new, that in Christ we are a new creation, that in Christ we've been given a ministry of reconciliation, if I really trust that that is true, then I'm called, says Paul, in community with others to live as if it were true. More than that, Paul actually challenges those who will hear and read to live because it is true. But new stuff's hard, isn't it? New stuff's really, really hard. I'm not great with new stuff. I remember the last time we got a new photocopier here at the church, and it's been years, thank goodness, because there were so many buttons, and they had numbers and letters and procedures and all of that, and I'm so glad that now, and it's only taken me about 5 or 6 years, but now I know how to use it. God forbid we should get a new one, and I should have to learn to use it. So if you're like me, and it's difficult to get a new phone or to learn how to operate a new microwave or to deal with a new photocopier, what would it mean to deal with a new creation? It could be overwhelming. Overwhelming. The Koinonia class this morning watched a video from Bridge to Ballot Box about Selma and the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, the work of Dr. Martin Luther King and of John Lewis and so many others, on the road to the Civil Rights Act, on the road to all people being able to vote. And what I saw as I watched those video clips was a new world being born and an old world fighting like crazy to make sure it would never, ever happen. I think that's what Paul was experiencing as well. I think that's what we are experiencing if we truly believe that in Christ there's a new creation in which everybody deserves honor, respect, love, food, housing, health care, freedom. If we believe in that world, and we live for that world, and we fight for that world, the old snakeskin, the old way of looking at things, the old world will fight violently against us. And sometimes it will even use our language. I watched people come out of churches on those videos, white people with eyes filled with hate and fear and anger, to beat up other human beings who are unarmed and only claiming their rights. I've watched people illumine crosses in fields and in yards and sing the name of Jesus Christ while they denigrated other human beings. I've witnessed people in the name of Christ deny other people healing in the name of the one who went place to place to place, healing all whom he encountered. I've watched people in the name of Jesus Christ deny people freedom. This Jesus Christ, who on the eve of a celebration of liberation, Passover, sat at table with disciples and invited them to live that liberation. I've watched people with crosses around their necks go in and out of churches and fight like crazy to make sure that others couldn't vote, couldn't be healed, couldn't cross a border, couldn't love, couldn't live. If in Christ there truly is a new creation, that new creation has to break in upon the old creation, and indeed, it must be a struggle. So where does that leave us? What do we do? How can that be good news for us? Is the good news there's this thing, but it's a struggle? Yes. The good news is there is this thing. And participating in it will be a joy, will be a gift, will be filled with hope, and it will be a struggle. Siblings in Christ, we are called to truly trust that in Christ God has done a new thing. We are called to a life filled with a ministry of reconciliation. Why is that? Why would somebody have to do a ministry of reconciliation? What's all this reconciling about? Well, it seems to me that folks reconcile when they ain't been conciled in the first place, right? That's your, that's your grammatical and etymological work for the day, as best I can make it. If there's dispute, if there's enmity, if there's difficulty, that's where reconciliation is required. When there's hatred, when there's anger, when there's separation, that's when reconciliation is required. But it's reconciliation based on the proclamation of a new creation. So it's not the same as compromise. See, the new creation and the old creation could talk to each other, right? And the old creation could say, well, I don't really believe in love and life and health and freedom for all people. And the new creation could say, I believe in it for everyone. And they could say, I suppose, let's compromise. Let's believe in love and life and health and liberation for half the people. That's a compromise, isn't it? Zero. All, half. That's not the ministry of reconciliation to which we have been called. I believe, says Paul, in Christ there is a new creation. That we are called to a ministry of reconciliation. We are called to invite the entire world into living that new creation. What does it mean that all things are made new? It means, I think, that we're reminded that all people matter to God. That we're reminded that God loves each and every one of us and each and every one of them. Whoever they might be, That message doesn't just come to us, but it comes to all others. It's not just about us, it's about all others. And we are not the only bearers of that message, such that it can be on our lips and on no others. It must also be in our ears. We must hear that message and share that message and live that message with others. But what can you do? Paul thought the best thing he could do was write letters and form communities and speak publicly, and then he got beat up a lot and imprisoned a lot. Whatever you do to live in the new creation, please know the old creation will be fighting against you. And by the way, before I finish, the old creation isn't something God created. We're told at the beginning of our Bibles that God created something really good. God created something really great. And there were people, and there were animals, and there were plants, and there was water, and there was sky, and it was good. It was very, very good. It's almost as if what Paul is claiming is we're invited back into God's initial creation. We're invited to participate in new ways in God's creation. It's not as if that Hebrew Bible God didn't quite get the creation right, and now through Christ we have this new creation and it's better. It's more like we're awakened to what it means to live in the world. It's more like we're empowered to live the way we're called to live in the world. And that new creation can involve everyone, but it cannot be based on compromise. But it must be based on reconciliation, on welcome. Welcome to the new creation. See, all things have been made new. Amen.